So we'll learn a little bit something about the Parsha too, but I want to go into Sfiras HaOmer and Lag BaOmer. So to ease into there, also because the Parshias are different here and in the States, right? Because of the fact that for us it was Shabbos and for them it was Yom Tov Sheni. But here we're holding by Emor and there they're holding by Achrei Mos Kedoshim still. So in Emor, the Nesivah Shalom quotes the previous Lanam Rebbe. It's like this: being in Mashe Korim Batoyra B'Shavuos Shel Sfiras HaOmer. It always falls out, no matter where you are, here in Chutz La'aretz, that these Parshias of Sfiras HaOmer, we're always reading the Inyanim of Tazria Metzora and Achrei Mos Kedoshim, and it's all talking about Negoyim and Tuma and Arayos. Achrei Mos Kedoshim is all about Arayos, the forbidden relationships. Tazria Metzora is all about, you know, impurity, whether it's of the Mitzvah himself or of the Negoim of the Bais and the Negoim of the Kelim and the Negoim of the clothing. So he says it's no accident that in terms of time, these Parshios always fall out during the time of Sfiras HaOmer. Mishum Shimei HaSfira Mesugalim Lihilchalitz Mikol HaTumos Umarim Bishin. The time of Sfiras HaOmer is an opportune time for us to count down. You know, the Chinuch says one of the reasons we give for counting Sfiras HaOmer is like a countdown. You're so excited that you're coming to the day of Shavuos, so you have like a countdown, you have like a calendar, and you cross off the days till you get to that one special day. So we're counting off the days till we countdown till we come on to the time of Shavuos. So as we do that countdown, we're supposed to be counting Sfira. We're supposed to be working on ourselves, preparing ourselves, getting ourselves ready. Just like we were, if we had a set date marked on our calendar for an important meeting, for an important event, not only would we count down the days, we would do something to prepare ourselves for that event. Whether it's, if it's an exam, we would be studying. If it would be a marriage, we would be preparing ourselves, you know, we'd be preparing our new home, preparing our new clothing. If it would be a countdown to a new job, so we would be preparing for our new job. Whatever it would be that we'd be counting down to, so we wouldn't just cross off the days unless you're just waiting for that day to come and you have nothing to prepare. But usually if there's some event coming that's of some importance, you have what to prepare for that event. So the same thing here, Shavuos is coming. Shavuos is a time of Matan Torah, time of Kabbalah Satorah. We're supposed to be preparing ourselves during Sfira for accepting the Torah all over again. So therefore, these Parshias come up because they're supposed to remind us, L'taharenu miklipusenu mitumisenu, like we say at the Ribbono Shalom after counting Sfiras HaOmer, that these are supposed to purify us from the Tumah, from all the different negative and impure things. So the same thing he says is in Parshas of Achrei Mos Kedoshim and Emor, that we're going to be talking about all these different things that have to do with Kedusha. Kedusha Sachila, the Parsha Shmini, and we talked about all the different things that you can and cannot eat in Parsha Shmini. And the end of that Parsha says, sanctify yourself and be holy. Uparshas Kedoshim Tiyu, V'chen Kedushas HaKohanim, V'akohen Gadol, V'kedushas HaMo'ados, V'kedushas HaOretz. Keep going about Kedusha. Shugam Ken Mitam Zeh. These days are especially auspicious, they're especially designed to help us purify ourselves, sanctify ourselves, and get ready. The purpose of these days is to purify us. Like we say in that tefillah, that we will sanctify ourselves with the Kedusha Shema. We will do our job down here. Us, we will work on ourselves, and then the Kedusha Shalmala will come down onto us. Shekol ze hachana lekabalas haTorah. Chumah dekasev koidem kabalas, like it says in the Chumash, ve'atem tiyurim emlechas kohanim ve'goy kadosh. Kadosh Baruch Hu months, he asks, he demands from us that we be a holy nation, a nation of kohanim, of priests, and a goy kadosh, and a sanctified holy people. L'fisha kedusha machshira es yehud liyos davuk b'Hashem. What's the purpose of it all? Because that kedusha, that sanctity, is a machshir. It's a hachshara, just like there's a hachshara in modern Hebrew, that in order to get a job or position of some kind, you need some kind of hachshara. You need to be a professional, you need to gain that profession, you need to acquire the degree, you need to be trained. So to be trained in being a Jew, to be trained in being connected and davuk b'Hashem, you need to be kadosh. K'demirumas b'chol ha'tzivum shel ha'kedusha, shekasev b'hem lashon li. Everywhere that it talks about sanctification, it says, Li, Hashem says, for me. For example, Vatem tihyuri mamrechas kohanim megakadosh. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, how will you be mine? How will I acquire you to be my people? Be holy, be sanctified. Ve'anshei kodesh tiyun li. Always li, lefi, shadekdusha niye yehudi dovak ba'ashem. Ve'az roi li kabbalah satorah. For a Jew to be worthy of kabbalah satorah, to be dovak, to be attached and connected to Hashem, you have to be sanctified and be holy. Chumam erbesen akadoshim, al-pasuk, enayim lahem v'lo yiro, enayim lahem, kasher ha'adam shemishtamish binyane lemale est ha'voice of az lo yiro elokus. The pasuk says enayim lahem v'lo yiro, it's talking about the getch, because it's talking about the idols, that they have eyes but they can't see. We praise Hashem, we say he's a real God. They have idols, their idols, they all have eyes and they can't see, they have noses and they can't smell, or they have mouths and can't talk. So the Chassidus Rebbe's Taich, they explain the pasuk enayim lahem v'lo yiro to mean by us, if we act improperly, and I'm lahem, instead of giving the eyes over to God, if you use your eyes in improper ways, you look at things you're not supposed to be looking at, as lo yiro elokus, then you fail to see. What you fail to see? You fail to see godliness in the world. Right? In order for your eyes to be sanctified and see the kedusha found in everything, you have to make those eyes holy. As lo yiro elokus, but your eyes can't see holiness and godliness if they're busy looking at forbidden things. Uchmos ken imos naim lahem v'lo yushmo. They have ears, but they can't hear. We have ears. If we don't listen to the proper things, then we also can't hear godliness in the world. If you want to hear the song of the creation, if you want to hear how everything is speaking out the story of God, your eyes and your ears have to be in tuned, right? I always give this example because people seem to have this like block about spiritual matters. They seem to think like it's all like too hard to understand. So I always give a mashal about a radio or a television or something like that. That, you know, right now in this room there's hundreds of different waves, radio waves and sound waves and television waves, and you and I can't see them and we can't hear them. You know, we're not walking around programmed into whatever channel or broadcast is going on right this second in this room. But all we would need would be the proper kli, the proper keli. If we have a radio and that radio has an antenna and we switch it to the right channel, then we could tune into that broadcast. If we had a television and we tuned into that channel, we could watch that program. Why is it that with that TV and the antenna, or the radio and the antenna, you can do that? How come we can't do that? And the answer is the proper keli, we don't have the proper instruments. It's not that the radio waves aren't here. They're going on right now. Right now there's some broadcasting, some programming going on right this second in this room. It's just you and I aren't in tune to it. Furthermore, you take the mashal another step. Even if you own a radio or a television and it's missing the antenna, you still can't tune in. It's still missing an integral part. Take the mashal another step further. Even if you have an antenna, right, and you're not tuned into the correct station, you can't watch that specific broadcast or listen to that specific channel or watch that program. Take the mashal another step further. You could have the antenna, you could be tuned into the right channel, you could have the radio or the TV, and you're not plugged into the electricity, you're not going to get a thing without the power. So the mashal and the show are pretty obvious, right? There's spiritual stuff going on right now in this room. There's a bas kol crying out from Shemaim saying, Shuvu banim. Hashem is showing us wonders of creation right now. And if we're in tune, we can experience them. But if we're not plugged into the source, if we're not attached to Hashem, then we have no juice. We have nothing to power us as a Jew to experience that. If we don't have the proper kelim, if you're not wearing tefillin, if you're not putting on a talis, if you're not opening up your siddur, if you're not opening up your tehillim, you're missing that radio, you're missing that television, you're missing the antenna, you're missing something. Something isn't in tune, something's not getting the right message, even though the message is happening right here, right now. So that's what he's saying. He's saying that you have ears, but you can't hear. You have eyes, but you can't see. And all because you've been using them for the wrong purpose. What's the most proper way to prepare yourself? A Jew wants to accept the Torah, he has to prepare himself. You won't find any other matter that's not a specific mitzvah mentioned over and over and over again except for Kedusha everywhere you turn. When it talks about Kiddush Hashem, Hashem says, I was sanctified among, inside, bein, betoch, bnei Yisrael. Betoch kol echad ve'echad, says the Rebbe. within each and every Jew, Hashem could find his place. Shekol Yehudi tzarech l'kadosh b'kirbo es Hashem yisbarach. Every Jew has to sanctify Hashem. Shekiyam ha-mitzvus v'nizkadashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael hi'al yadev shemekadosh es kol mahuso u'metziyuso u'shmo yisbarach. The way to make a place within ourselves for Hashem, to invite him in. The famous story about the Kotzker Rebbe, that the Kotzker Rebbe was a little child and they asked him, you know, where is God? You ask a little kid such a question, but the Kotzker Rebbe wasn't just any other little kid, right? He was the Kotzker Rebbe. So he said, wherever you let him in, that's where Hashem is. Yeah, I wish my five-year-old, no, just kidding, my five-year-old is Baruch Hashem, very nice. And he says unbelievable stuff. I'll tell you, one time he was bothering me and he says to me, Tati, what's that? And he pointed to the intercoms. I was like, I don't remember what I was doing, but I just told him, it's Mashiach's telephone. I don't know why, I just said that. Really? I said, yeah, I just took it a step further. Like, if you do a mitzvah and you call Mashiach, he'll come. So I forgot about it, but he didn't. A few weeks later, he says, Tati, give me the chair, I need to climb up. I said, why? I need to get to Mashiach's phone, I did a mitzvah, I have to call him to come. So I brought him a chair and he called him Mashiach. I think it's a long distance call, he hasn't come yet. Yeah, so, Baruch Hashem, I have no complaints. So. But the Kotzke said, you know, he was a little kid, he said, where is God? Wherever you let him in. If a Jew wants to make a place within himself for Hashem, he can do so. But he has to sanctify himself in order for that to be the truth. Umaus inyan akdusha, shlomar aderach mashal. So this is a very beautiful mashal, very nice parable. Levin melech shenase bas kafri. There was a prince, and he decided to marry the daughter of a simple farmer. Shekol mahusa v'seder hanhagasa gasus umigushemis. Now the daughter of a farmer, you know, she's out there barefoot milking the cows at 5 in the morning, you know, dealing with like straw and like feeding the chickens. She's probably got very big calluses on her fingers. She's wearing, you know, very simple type of dress. She's definitely not the epitome of elegance and refinement like, you know, a princess should be. And now the king's son, the prince, went and married her. You gotta go teach her a little bit of etiquette. She's not gonna know how to act like a princess, like a queen. A queen has to know how to carry herself. A queen has to know how to present herself in public. She can't act like the daughter of a peasant farmer, right? The most important thing he has to do with her is change her mindset. It's not just to teach her, you know, how to talk properly, you know, to get rid of that accent or to change what she's wearing. She has to change her entire mindset. She has to realize she's no longer a country simple farm girl. She is now a queen, and she has to act the part. That means she has to think queenly thoughts. She has to think about the importance of running a nation, not just, you know, feeding the chickens. She's got to think about the importance of ruling the entire country. She's got to be a queen. She's got to carry herself in a certain way. Things that she did as a country farm girl, like, I don't know, you know, shoveling manure, she can't do that as a queen. What are people going to think if they see the queen doing that? It's not proper etiquette for a queen to do those things, even though there's nothing necessarily wrong with it, right? So he has to change her whole mindset. She has to think queenly thoughts. She has to understand tikkun benafsha pnimius es shinuya arachin shehi nimtzeis ata ba'olam chadash legamer. She has to realize she's entered a new world. She's taken on a new position in life, a new stature in society. You're now in the king's palace. You're not on the farm anymore. Things that were perfectly acceptable and expected from you on the farm are totally unacceptable and don't go here in the king's palace as a queen. Nothing will transform her into a true queen. She can wear the most beautiful queen's dress and she can carry herself like a queen, but if the minute she walks outside she starts feeding the ducks, it's going to be totally ludicrous. If the minute she walks outside she's going to start milking the cow, imagine the queen with the crown on her head dressed in finery milking a cow into a pail. It sounds comical, right? Because it doesn't go. Al derech ze Yehudi hanimtza b'choymer sh'yehudo hu ve'atem tiyu omreches kohanim v'goy kadosh. A Jew has to remember that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mission. And that mission is to be a holy nation. Lios mibnei hamelech haomdim beichalo kuloi oimer kavod. And that means that we have to act like princes. And princes don't act the way that everybody else does. Right? What's perfectly fine for the average person to do is not perfectly fine for the prince to do. Uleshem kach tzivsa ha-Torah es tarag ha-mitzvos ha-ma'asiyos. Therefore, the Torah gives us not just mitzvahs that have to do with emuna and mitzvahs that have to do with love, all kinds of emotive and all kinds of thought process type mitzvahs. Rather, the Torah gives us practical, down to earth, active mitzvahs to do actions. A person has to realize that being a Jew changes the whole way you look at life. A Jew is never allowed to forget that he is a prince. His father is the king. And he lives a lifestyle different than other people who are not royal. A Jew's got to internalize and make real that he is royalty. He is the son of God. He is the son of the king. And because we are the children of Hashem, we are the sons and daughters of the king, we have to act the part. Just like she, this princess who was once a farm girl, had to change everything about herself, we also have to do that. We have to get into the Jew mindset. And therefore we have to sanctify our very beings and our essence. Bideos vashkafos kdoshos. Therefore we have to totally rewire our thinking to begin to think Jewish thoughts. We have to desire to be holy people and act in a holy manner. That's the only way we're going to become princes and princesses. The Kubriner said, the worst thing that can happen to a Jew is for him to forget that he is royalty, that he is a prince. Because it's literally like a book that's missing the plot. Because if a book could be well written with proper grammar and the story could be very, very nice, full of details, and the character could be compelling, but if there's no plot, then the book's going nowhere. Where's the story headed? Right? So we're saying Jews can be nice people, and they can be friendly people, and they can be mensch, as people like to say, you're mensch, right? But if there's no plot, if the Jew doesn't understand his purpose, if he doesn't live a life to be a ben melech, then the ikar is missing from the sefer, the plot is missing from the book. What kind of a book is missing a plot? It's got great characters who've got beautiful character, and it's got a wonderful background story, and it's got no plot, so it's not going anywhere. So therefore you might wonder, like, why is it so important to be holy? Why isn't it counted among the 613? Says even a bigger thing. Do you ever wonder? There is no mitzvah to be a Jew. You have a mitzvah to put on tefillin, a mitzvah to daven, a mitzvah to eat kosher. There's no mitzvah to be a Jew. Ki mitzvos nitnu lezeh shehu kvar Yehudi. The reason, he says, is because you have to be Jewish to do mitzvahs. It's not that there's a mitzvah to be a Jew. You can't do mitzvahs if you aren't a Jew. The Jew is the one commanded to fulfill the mitzvahs. The Yehudi is the one who's told by Hashem to do and fulfill the commandments. Ki ha-mitzvahs nitanu lezeh shehu kvar Yehudi. The mitzvah is he who is already Jewish. She'az hu mechuyev b'mitzvahs. Because only a Jew is obligated in fulfilling the commandments. V'iru etzem hayos Yehudi kodem lechiyev b'mitzvahs. Before being commanded in the mitzvahs, you have to be Jew. Al derech ze mitzvahs kedoshim tiyut sheyachas l'chalak shel yahadus lios yehudi akodem la mitzvahs. Sanctity, holiness, is something that comes before mitzvahs. You can't reach the idea of mitzvahs if you're not a holy person. It's almost like Rav Chaim Vital asks, what about midos, right? We talk about all these nice midos in these parshas. Why is there no mitzvah to do midos? There's no actual mitzvah in that. And it says the answer is the same thing, that derech eretz kadma la Torah. Before you could have a Torah, you have to have Midos. You can't fulfill a Torah if you're not Kaddish. You can't fulfill a Torah if you have no Midos. You can't fulfill a Torah if you're not a Jew. If you're missing those things, you're missing the Iker. So he says, Yesh Yehudi, Yishu Yehudi, Mitzara told. Then he says, there's Jews that are born that way. Right? Someone's born Jewish. He has a Jewish mother. He's born a Jew. Shenorad lehorim Yehudim v'areu memel Yehudi. So this guy is born Jewish. Aval Yehudi tzarech liyos Yehudi machmas atzmo. But the truth is, he says, that every person has to become a ger. We all have to convert. Even though we're born Jewish. What does that mean? You have to be a Jew not because you're born that way. You have to be a Jew because you want to be a Jew. You have to make yourself a Jew because that's what you want to aspire to be. Of course, literally speaking, a Jew is born a Jew. He stays a Jew. It doesn't matter. No one can take that away from him. But the Iker Hanhaga, the way of acting and being like a Jew, is something that we have to aspire to, even if we're born that way. Just because we're born with the status of being Jewish doesn't mean that we're already acting Jewish, that we're already thinking Jewish, that we're already living Jewish. Otherwise, what would be unique about it? We could just be born a Jew and live chas v'shalom like anybody else. Like some people out there, unfortunately, have not discovered how beautiful it is to be a Yid, and they live just like anybody else in the world. So they're literally born Jewish, but does that mean that the life they're living is a Jewish lifestyle? Does that mean that the thoughts they're thinking are Jewish thoughts, that the actions they're taking are Jewish actions just because they happen to be Jews? That's the mitzvah kedoshim to you. So you're born a Jew and you're memele a Jew. But there's a type of Judaism that means to become a Jew. Shu Yehudi mushlam be'etzem, that in essence you're a Jew. They say about the Rebbe, the Yid HaKadosh from Pshischa, that the reason they called him the Yid HaKadosh, the Holy Jew, was because he felt every single day that he had to acquire the status of being a Jew from the beginning. Every day again. Like every day to become a ger, every day to become Jewish. He used to say that it's not enough to wake up and do the same mitzvahs you've been doing yesterday because you did them yesterday. Every day I have to think about the reason you're doing the mitzvahs all over again, like it's a new thing. Like, it's not the reason I'm putting tefillin today, it's not because I put them on yesterday, because I put on tefillin, because that's what I do every day. I wake up in the morning and I put on tefillin. What's the reason you're putting on tefillin today? If you don't understand why you're putting on tefillin, you better understand it, because what, the first time you put on tefillin, you understood it? It was a learning experience. No one knows how to put on tefillin the first time automatically. They take out these boxes, all these long straps. You have to figure out how to put them on, understand what it is that you're doing, why is it that you're doing that. When a Jew wakes up in the morning and he washes the tilas yadayim and he says moed de'ani, he has to think to himself, why is it that I'm doing this in the beginning of my day? Is it because I did it yesterday? Is it just like a rote thing that I do? Every day I wake up in the morning, I say, well, I'm going to wash my hands. Or is there some significance to what I'm doing? And thus, the Yid HaKadosh was called the Yid HaKadosh because every day he became a Jew. Every day he became a Jew all over again. Every day he became a Ger Tzedek and he became a Jew. That's how he lived his life. That every day, every mitzvah that he did was a brand new experience for the reason that it was a mitzvah, for the purpose of it. Not just because that's what you did yesterday. I'm not davening Marv because I daven Mincha. I'm davening Marv because that's what Marv is, because it needs to be davened. And therefore, when a person becomes that type of a Jew, Shemikaf ragloi v'ad roishoi kulo Yehudi, becomes a Jew from his head to his toes. Mochomach Yehudi, libolev Yehudi, evarav evarim Yehudoim. He's got a Jewish mind and a Jewish heart and Jewish limbs, Jewish hands and Jewish feet. Why? Not just because he was born that way, because he's made himself that way. V'zohi mitzvahs kedoshim tiyu mitzvahs niskadash v'sof ne Yisrael yos Yehudi be'etzem asher kedushal yonet chofefes al kol mitziyuso. To be a Jew because that's your whole mitzias. V'yitachen sh'Yehudi yekayim es kol atarag mitzvahs yidaktik be'kalak v'chamura be'etzem mahuso eino Yehudi. The Yisrael says an amazing thing. So the person could do black and white everything it says in the book. Every one of the 613 commandments, and not just do them, all the chumras and all the dikdukim. That means he doesn't just put on tefillin; he goes and buys gauss, you know, the thickest ones, with the most mehudar sofer to write them for him. He doesn't just daven a Shemoneh Esrei by rote; he spends 15 minutes saying Shemoneh Esrei. He doesn't just say tehillim; he every word, and he doesn't just, you know, he does it all. But deep inside, he's missing the essence of being a Jew. How could that be?
שאין העצם שלו מתאים למציאות הקדושה של יהודי כפי שאורה מכל פסוקי התורה בעניין הקדושה. This is what the Ramban calls נבל ברשוס התורה, that a person could literally fill the literal letter of the law, but he's so mekukal, his way, his actions, the way he carries himself, the way he treats others, the way he acts, what he thinks of himself, what he thinks of being a Jew, is so off that he's an aval b'rishus ha'toyer. Shekol mitziyusa shel Yehudi k'dusha b'k'dusha yona. A Jew is sanctified and holy. And if a person is wearing tefillin, and he's in the middle of Shemini Esrei, and he's thinking the most disgusting thing about the guy next to him, or he hates everybody in the room because of I don't know what, or 5 minutes after he puts away his talis and tefillin, he's yelling at the guy, and he does that the whole day, every day, because he's just nasty. Or any other example you come up with, that the person is not living or acting a Jewish life, even though literally speaking he's fulfilling the, you know, the literal black and white mitzvahs, then he's missing the essence of being a Jew. He's not sanctified in that way. Kadosh, ubeso kadosh, ninseb eretz kadosha. A Jew is supposed to live in a holy land, with a holy home, with a holy structure to his life. Very bad. Hivu mushlam shel kedusha, has to live an existence of holiness and sanctity. Chol yonah kedusha sheyizhir alei matoriah mevias yehudi sheyisnag ben haga ruuya leven hamelech beichal hamelech. To bring us back to that mashal that we have to be kings in the king's palace. Al pi zeh yishlomer maimar torah skana sheyitzias mitzrayim yom manas and iskadash misoch miyisrael. The purpose of taking us out of Mitzrayim was that Hashem should be sanctified among us. V'tachlus ishavus yisrael ama nivchar, and the purpose of making us a chosen people. Leman ha'yeud shel mamleches kohanim gal kadosh. It's for the purpose, right? We have a GPS, and programmed in there is our destination. Where are we supposed to get to? The destination is a holy people. Val kach rak kasher Yisrael mekayim niskash shel Yisrael ruim hem liyeudim shel manas ken yitzum mitzrayim v'niyu la'am anivcher. The only way to reach that destination is to be a chosen people that are living a life of sanctity where God can dwell in our midst. How could God dwell in our midst if we only go through the motions, if we have no respect for each other, if we don't even know how to treat each other? Uchmoshi yitzias Mitzrayim ve'atem b'chartanu mikol ha'amim yeshnam b'chlalus am Yisrael kach gam b'pratius etzel kol yod tluyim hem b'mitzus v'nishkadashti. Just like it says, I chose you from among all the nations as a group, Hashem wants from each one of us personally to sanctify Hashem. For us to go through a personal exodus, to go out of the tumah of the impurity of Mitzrayim, we each one have to accept Hashem on our own specific personal level. That's how we each become a Jew and become part of that chosen people. That is the condition to take us out from Egypt. To reach that stage of being chosen from among all the people. So based on that concept, that this parshios have to do with Sfiras Omer, let's learn an idea about Sfiras Omer. We'll end with this. So let's talk about the general concept of Sfira. Next week, I guess we'll start on the concept of Lag B'Omer. Right? Next week will not be Lag B'Omer yet. Yeah, we still have time, right? So we'll be good. So it says, "Usvartem lechem machras haShabbos yom v'yachem esomer tnufa sheva shabbosos tmiut tisiyat yena machras haShabbos hashviyus tisper chamish yom kedei kraft mitchadash l'Hashem." Count for yourself after Shabbos, meaning after Pesach, from the day that you bring the Omer, 7 weeks, complete weeks, until the time after Shabbos Shviz, you count 50 days, and then you'll bring a Mincha Chadasha. So it says, Mefarashim Amdol Sima Pasuk, Krav Te Mincha Chadasha L'Hashem. Delo Inyin Shtei HaLechem Mefarashim Pasuk Shel Achrav, Moshvoseichem Taviyu Lechem Tnufa Shtayim. V'chen Lama Nizkar Inyin Mincha Al Sfira Sa'imer B'Pasuk Echad. Demashma Shezeh Chelek Misfira Sa'imer. Why is it when we got the mitzvah Sfiras Omer, count the Omer, at the same time, that's after then we bring a Mincha Chadasha, a new offering? What's the connection between that and Sfiras Omer? Because the mitzvah of bringing Shtei Alechem for Shavuos is mentioned in the Pasuk afterwards. If it's mentioned in the Pasuk in the verse right after, why mention it before, call it a Mincha Chadasha and connect it to the Sfira? What's the connection of the counting of the Omer and the Mincha Chadasha and the new offering of the Shtei Alechem? Otsarch bir madua lo mefurish b'toyer be'ez yom b'chodesh chag shavuos chal. Why is it that other Yom Tovim we're told on this and this month, on this and this day, you have a yontiv? Shavuos isn't given a date. It's only given a time period after you get 50 days after Pesach. Why is that? It's strange. Why not say, on Vav Sivan, on the sixth day of this and this month, that's when you have Shavuos. I mean, that's what it is, right? So why wouldn't you have a date? How is it different? Chmoshim forsh v'shara moyadim, v'chva kasev, rak uv'yom bikurim, be'akrivchem, mincha chadash l'Hashem b'shavuoschem. It only says, on the day of the bikurim, when you bring this new mincha chadasha, b'shavuoschem, when you count these weeks, Dainu shenosin simon sheyantiv chal biyom akrav shtelechem. By the way, yantiv's coming out the same day you're bringing this new offering. Just so you know, why not give a date? V'gam mitzvah sfira soimer atzma yesh lahakshos ken. Could ask about the mitzvah sfira too, about counting omer. D'ron ne'amar b'toyer la'aschil ispar b'shisha also l'chodesh arishon el b'machras haShabbos. We're not told, by the way, on the 16th day of Nisan start. Why not? Nope, we're told after the Shabbos, after Pesach, that's when you start. Why not tell us when? Why is it 50 days, not 49? Ain't so from Elamem Tes Yom. We only count 49. We don't count 50 days. So why does it tell us to count 50? We don't do that. Uvarashi mevarish is mikra mesuras. Rashi says this is one of these psukim. You have to chop it up and like sort of rearrange it. Okay, it's nice that Rashi explains to us how to reread the pasuk so it makes grammatical, practical sense. Why write it that way? Why not write it grammatically in a correct, easy to understand way from the beginning? Obviously, there's a reason. So, what is the purpose of Sfiras Omer? Obviously, if anybody reads the Tefillah before and after reading Sfiras Omer, you'll see there's all kinds of mystical, deep explanations of what's going on. Rectifications, things that we're fixing in the higher worlds. But in Chassidus, we try to understand everything. How does it affect me and how do I serve Hashem better based on all this? As we mentioned before, the purpose of counting sphere, it says in the Tefillah, to purify us from all the types of impurity that there are. And then we and then I will be sanctified from the sanctity that's coming up from above. Coming down from above. As we said, the purpose is to take ourselves out of Tumah and into Kedusha. The Sfarim say that Pesach is like Yantiv and Shavuos is like Yantiv and the days in between are like Chol HaMoed. If that's the case, we're in a period of time between Pesach and Shavuos where the whole period is for one purpose. Take us out of Mitzrayim, bring us to Kabbalah Satorah. Shekol inyan Pesach, zman cheruseinu, letzeis cherus, mishia b'tshinu, mishubad r'far b'Mitzrayim. Our whole purpose in going out on Pesach is to go out from the shiabud, to go out from that subjugation, from that slave mentality. Dehainu, shiabud klipas Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, we were subjugated to them as slaves. We were stuck. And then we have to get out of that mindset. We only reach that point on Shavuos. Chazal Saint Perkei Avos, which we studied during this period, right? For the same purpose, to work on our midos, to prepare ourselves. Who's a ben chorin? Who's considered free? Someone who learns Torah. When I take you out of Mitzrayim, I'm going to bring you up to the mountain to serve Hashem. That's the purpose of going out of Mitzrayim. When will that period of taking them out be over? When will it be fulfilled? When you serve Hashem on the mountain. It's one hemshech. It's one straight path. Yetzias Mitzrayim, Pesach, and Shavuos are integrally bound to each other. They're two parts of the same yantiv, so to speak. Just like we said that almost all the time between is almost like a Chol HaMoed. It's two yamin toivim that are specifically attached to each other. So Chol Och Yehudi Eino Overest Tkufa Satahara Migil Kabbalah Satayr Ein Zishlemus Man Cherusenu. So to speak, until we reach Shavuos, we haven't finished Pesach. The purpose of Pesach is not fulfilled till we get to Shavuos. The Al Pizei Yevuar Hadiuk Shadiuk B'Sfarim Hakdoshim Mipnei Malon Nizkera B'Pesach Mitzvah Simcha B'Kemefurash. The Sfarim ask, why is it that the mitzvah of Simchas Yontiv, which we know is a mitzvah on every single one of the Yom Tovim, is not mentioned explicitly on Pesach? In the psukim, in the verses of the Torah, Simchas Yontiv, the mitzvah to be happy and rejoice on the holiday, is only found in reference to Shavuos and to Sukkos. Why is it that we have to learn out from them to Pesach? Why is it missing? Bishlomar hatam bezek ki omnam shlemes hasimcha shozman chirusenu ein ani shlemes ad kabbalah satayra. Pesach isn't almost a complete yontiv. It's almost not a complete entity on its own, because the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to be zman chirusenu, to get to kabbalah satayra. Right? Sfiras HaOmer is saying, I need to get somewhere. I'm on a direction. I'm on a mission. I'm going somewhere. Until I get there, I'm incomplete. So to speak, the Torah can't even command Simcha on Yontiv, even though Yontiv's whole Mahus is a day of rejoicing in Simcha on Pesach, because Pesach is almost incomplete on its own. You can't have complete Simcha until you get the Torah on Shavuos. V'yesh b'tkufa zu bezin yonim hashlamas yitzias Mitzrayim kemshech haPesach al yesod man de'omer b'sefer divrei Moshe al ma'amar hakosuv lo nicha melekim derech eretz plishtim. God didn't take us through the city and the land of the plishtim. And we came up, you know, armed and ready. And Rashi said, "Tevas chamushim haynu echad michamisha shirak chamishis bnei Yisrael yotzim Mitzrayim." The midrash Rashi quotes, Rashi cites the well-known midrash that during the tkufa, during the makkah of darkness, during choshech, only a fifth of the Jews survived. 4/5 of the Jews didn't make it out. They were stuck in the Egyptian mentality that they died during the cover of darkness. They never left Mitzrayim, those Jews. They never made it out. According to Rashi's explanation, based on the Midrash, the Chamushim means that not that they were necessarily armed, but that Hashem didn't lead them through the Philistines' land. It means that they only came up a fifth of the Jews if possible. What's the connection between that and the Plishtim? Uvar al Yesod Hamuva Basar Makdosh Inyan Yitzias Mitzrayim Nizkar B'Torah Chamishim Pamim. He says, if you count the amount of times the Exodus is mentioned in Torah, you'll count 50 times. Lefi Sheyesh Chamishim Bechino Shel Yitzias Mitzrayim. There are 50 levels to getting out of Egypt. Exodus from Egypt isn't a simple process. You just cross the border. Physically it is. But to escape the Egyptian mentality, to leave the slave mentality behind, to acquire that mentality of what it means to be a Jew, there's 50 levels. Those are the days of the Sfiras HaOmer, the count of 50. Each day we count one, we cast one other level behind us. We reach one level closer to that 50th level, the 50th gate of becoming a Jew, accepting the Torah. V'gam la'achar shiyotz Mitzrayim b'v'chinas achas adayin yesh olav latzeis od har be'od chamishim pamim. That's what we count. Chesed shebechesed, chesed shebegvura, chesed betiferes. You're counting each one of the different midos, the different traits that you can possibly get through, and their connection to each other. It's not just chesed, it's chesed shebechesed, chesed shebegvura, chesed. And there's a Baruch Hashem, a lot of swarm today. Like there's a beautiful sefer by the commentator who translated Masuk Midvash, the Zohar HaKadosh. There's a sefer, Svartam Lechem, you can get it in almost any Jewish bookstore. Unbelievable sefer that every day he goes through and explains the ideas of each one of the spheres of Sfiras HaOmer and talks about practically how you can bring it into your life. And that's the idea of Sfira. They rose 50 levels. On So that's what it means, that they were only able to go out one. Therefore, Hashem didn't take them through the land of the Plishtim, and they was afraid that they would run because they were still in a slave mentality. They went out of Mitzrayim, but they had 50 levels to go. They weren't ready yet.
Shebechol yom yotzim od chelek shel yitzias Mitzrayim shemegim letachlos yitzias Mitzrayim mekabalas atayra. L'hamshich ratzeis lihichalets mikol hachamishim adregas shel tumas Mitzrayim. Shamispar chamishim
Koilo gamis yontav arishon shel Pesach. And why don't we count 50 days? We only count 49 because the 50th day includes Pesach itself. Asher bo yotzim esachir karishon mechamishim. Pesach is the day that we do the first step. The first step isn't counted. But the power of Pesach was, the Sfarim say that Hashem on the Seder night takes us up to the highest level on His own. Pesach is called, that's why it's called Mimachros HaShabbos. Pesach is called Shabbos. Shabbos and Pesach are similar. Every Yontav, we say the Bracha in Tefila, we say Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, that we are the ones who sanctify the Zman. Through Kiddush HaChodesh, we determine when the Yontav is. But Shabbos isn't like that. Hashem is Mekadosh Shabbos. We make the Bracha to Hashem, Mekadosh Shabbos. Hashem decides when Shabbos is. Every seventh day, it's up to Hashem when Shabbos is, not up to us. Similarly, Pesach, say the Sfarim, is called Shabbos. That's why it says, Mimachros HaShabbos HaShviz. From that time, from Pesach, you can't. Why is Pesach called Shabbos? Because it has the same Bechina. Just like on Shabbos, Hashem is the one who establishes it. Hashem is the one who does it all. So too on Pesach, Hashem does it. Hashem brings us up to the highest level on the Seder night. And then the next day, He says, okay, now you do it yourself. I gave you a taste of what it's like. Now you get there on your own. Now you count 49 days and get to Kabbalah Sotera. Do it on yourself. Like we said, Hashem brings us, sort of, He holds our hands, teaches us to walk, and lets go and says, now you take the steps yourself. Do it on your own. And that's why that Shabbos is Pesach. Shemich Sirispa Yom Echad Sofer Mikan Ve'och Belo Bracha. So why is it also that we count without a bracha if you miss a day? Ki kol yom yamei asfira b'china achas shiratzias mitzrayim. The same concept. The Pesach and Shavuos are integrally tied one into the, it's all one long journey. If you're missing a day, you can't make the bracha because it's one hemshich. It's one concept. It's one time. Okay, so we spoke about the Bechina of Pesach. So Chaim Vital said, the Rizal's Talmud, Shetaras Amidos Bechinas Kisim Erkabal Kabbalah Satorah. Like we spoke before, the Chaim Vital said, in order to be Kabbalah the Torah, you need to work on your Midos. Ki kol od Yehudi eno mitar Midosav, eno yachol Kabbalah Torah, ve'eno Torah yachol lishros v'kirbo. A Jew can't have the Torah within him if he doesn't have the right midos for it. Alken achon el kabbalas haTorah, Hashem gave us sfiras to Omer to count through the midos. And the Sfarim say, minyan mem tesimei sfira oila begematria lev tov. If you want to know the gematria of 49, it equals lev tov, a good heart. Because missing the good heart, missing the midos, is integrally something that's missing from kabbalas haTorah. Therefore, it says in Pirkei Avos, chamisha talmidim hayu Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and he said, go out and see what's the best way. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach said, Lev Tov. And he said, I see Rabbi Elazar ben Arach's way more than all of yours, because his way includes all of yours, all the other things that they saw. Because a Lev Tov is the shorish of all the good midos. So the famous Mashkiach, Rabbi Yopian, we'll just end with this story. The Maggid, Ramech Biderman, he said over a famous mashal that Rabbi Yopian used to say, that there was once this guy who was a counterfeiter. He pressed and he would counterfeit bills. He made thousands and thousands of counterfeit bills, and he gave the money over to somebody else. And this guy got caught. He was using the money to buy merchandise, and somehow someone realized it was counterfeit. When the authorities came into his home, they confiscated thousands and thousands in counterfeit bills. And, you know, when you're in dire straits, the canary sings. So he told them all about where he got it from. And they went and arrested the guy who had the press. And when they arrived in his apartment, they only found the press. They couldn't find a single bill. He had already sold them all to this guy. Anyhow, they both brought them before the judge. And the judge deliberated. And he ruled, banged his gavel, for having thousands of counterfeit bills, you will sit 1 year in prison. And for having a press, you will sit 10 years. The guy jumps up and goes, what? What kind of justice system do you call this? There's no justice. You didn't find a single bill on me, just a press. So the judge screams at him, you fool. You're right, that guy had thousands of bills, but once he uses them up, he's done. You've got a press for printing counterfeit bills. You might not have any more right now, but you could just keep printing them for years. So the same thing with bad midos, with a bad heart. It's one thing if a person does an Avera. He does an Avera here, does an Avera there. He could be doing Nebuch a lot of Averas. But if a person is Mekulkal, if he has a bad heart, if his Midos are Kum, then unfortunately he can be keep cranking out the Averas constantly. Because the source of such actions and such bad crookedness is the heart that's crooked. Hashem should help that during Sphira we'll take the opportunity to count 49 days and reach a lev tov, a good heart, a heart that's clean and pure and sanctified, to let Hashem in. Hashem will reach that part, Mitzvah Hashem, of Kabbalah Satira, and before that we'll speak Mitzvah Hashem about Lag Bomer and its significance in the middle of Sphira Slayman. Shkech.